Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It is a pleasure to be with you. Last week, we were at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, back in our home studios today, and I'm glad to take your phone calls and your emails. You know, one of the things that comes up regularly on this program is education. And one of the things that immediately comes up after you talk education is, how are we going to pay for it? Well, at least in the state of Oregon, some of the money to pay for it is supposed to come from the Common School Fund. And one of the sources for that Common School Fund is supposed to be the state's forest lands that are owned by the state. Now, you know, my preference would be that they'd be owned by private enterprise and not owned by the state. But we'll have that debate another day. In the meantime, there is the Elliott State Forest, which is in the hands of, state government. And they don't quite know what to do with it. It used to be worth as much as, say, $800 million. Today, we have a governor, Governor Kate Brown, who believes that it may only be worth $220 million. And I thought I'd get some real information from Dr. Bob Zybak, who joins us again. Doctor, it's good to have you back on the program.
Thanks, Lars. Good to be here.
So, thank you. The Elliott State Forest, is it worth $800 million, or is it worth $200 million, or is there a different number that we might assign to that if the state is inclined to sell the thing?
Well, it's $800 million's been appraised before. That's just for the timber. Land and timber has been appraised for as much as $1 billion. The state $220 million figure is kind of an arbitrary set of restrictions that pushed it down to that level.
So in this case, though, you've come up with some numbers, or the numbers are actually from the state legislative economist, that show that there's a plan through which you could generate almost $500 million for the Common School Fund from this forest that Governor Kate Brown insists is only worth $220 million if you sold it outright today?
Yep. What we got was feedback on the proposed Gheesy plan, which Senator Farioli wants to rename, but it would produce $460 million over a 20-year period. It would stay in state hands. The land would be 100% open to recreation. There would be an opportunity to study the difference. There would be over 40,000 acres dedicated to old-growth habitat for spotted owls and marbled murrelets. There'd be a focus on restoring and rejuvenating the coho runs. All of that would be accomplished with keeping the land in state hands without buying a bond, generating $460 million for the school fund, and creating a real research opportunity for our teachers and students and scientists comparing methods of active management as legally set forth by the law for maximum income for the school fund. And for passive management, spotted owl old-growth habitat, people would be able to watch, especially school kids and teachers, the comparison of the two over a 20-year period, and then make a reasoned decision.
Boy,
what to do with the land after that.
You know, Dr. Zybak, I figure if you went to anyone and said you own a piece of land, you have two choices. You can sell it outright for $220 million, or you can keep the ownership of it, get $460 million over the next 20 years, and you still end up owning the land, that's a no-brainer, isn't it?
I would think, and 100% open to recreation as opposed to 25%, 40,000 acres to old growth as opposed to a 25%. I think 50% was the figure they were using for recreation, but our emphasis would be on use, recreational use and educational research use of the forest over that 20-year period as well. So there's educational benefits in addition to the income, in addition to the active use of the forest.
And not to mention the jobs. Tell me about the jobs piece of this Gheesy plan.
The cut schedule would be what's been historically shown to be feasible, 50 million board feet a year. The multiplier on that is in excess of 10. That means if 50 million board feet a year were harvested, which it was done in the 1980s under Jerry Phillips, then 500 full-time direct and indirect jobs would be created. And this compares to the 10 jobs required with the $220 million sale.
10 jobs. So in other words, just what, a skeleton crew that would manage it if the forest is sold off the way Kate Brown originally had signed off on selling this forest?
Not even that, because it's indirect jobs as well. So that's the guy at the pump and the landlord and so on.
So you mentioned the Gysi plan, and you mentioned that Senator Ferrioli wanted to rename it. But why don't we talk about why it's named for Wayne Gysi?
Well, 30 years ago, Wayne Gysi proposed divvying up the federal lands, said there wouldn't be any problems if we had half of it go to the environmentalists the way they want to manage it, and half go to jobs and products for the American people, and pretty much laughed at. A few times he's gotten fairly close to getting some serious attention paid to this, but it was Senator Ferrioli who said, you know, the Elliott would be an ideal testing ground for this idea. And so that's what we're proposing, but for a 20-year period instead of an 80-year period, so that people would have time to become educated and make a reasoned decision.
I'm talking to Dr. Bob Zybak, who's the program manager at ORWW.org. So 8 days from now, the Oregon Land Board meets on this question. Is there any likelihood that enough public pressure might push them to adopt this Gysi plan and tell the governor we've got a better way to do this than either selling it off or continuing to own it and lose money on it?
I certainly hope so. At the very least, we're hoping to get some active public discussion going because this is an opportunity. The governor called for innovative new proposals, and so we've put this out. We delivered it in December and then again in February 14th on the state's birthday, and we'll do it again May 9th with the help of Jerry Phillips, who demonstrated that it can be managed far more effectively and economically.
Do you get any sense, Dr. Zybak, of why the governor is so dead set, it seems, on either selling it outright, although she ended up vetoing that idea even after she endorsed it, figure out which direction she's going, good luck. But is there any reason why the state wants to approach it this way, where they don't seem to want it, them? The state doesn't want to see timber cut off the land, and they apparently don't want new private owners to cut timber off this land. So then the timber just stands until it either goes to bugs or fire. Any idea why they're going this direction?
And don't leave out the Columbus Day storm and landslides.
Yep.
No real idea. It doesn't make much sense. We've had Department of Forestry pretty much without any foresters on it, or very few over the last 20 or 25 years. And they've demonstrated the Linn County suit for $1 billion and the Elliott are demonstrations that they can't manage the land effectively or legally. So that's a bad sign for other Western states that want to have federal lands transferred to state hands. We're showing that we can't handle it.
You know, Dr. Zybak, I get a lot of heat from my audience, even the conservatives in my audience, because I'm a conservative, but I say these lands would be better managed if they were in the hands of private companies, because private companies will look for the highest and best use. And many of them don't like the idea because they say, well, but we'll lose access to it. Well, yeah, I understand that, but you don't have to lose access to it if the land were sold and if the buyers were allowed to actually actively manage it. You could sell it with a permanent hunting and recreation easement. But in this case, this seems to be proof positive of my number one thesis, and that is when you hand land to the federal or state government, in many cases, they manage it very, very poorly. And oftentimes, they manage it so poorly, it actually loses money from a valuable asset.
And that's the case here in the past 20, 25 years in Oregon. That's the exact case, is that they don't have management experience. They're not making good decisions. And so we have bureaucrats making regulations and lawyers defending those regulations rather than rural people working.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and explaining the Gysi plan. Dr. Zybak, thanks for the time.
You're welcome.
I'll be back in just a moment. And we'll talk about a young man who won, later on this hour, who won a wonderful trip. And then the organizers of the trip said, oh, you have autism. You're not welcome to come. And we'll talk about that with Tom Hallman. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show.